The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome back to another episode, guys. Let me tell you, as we are about to head right into the fucking danger zone, baby.
I know, man. Let's get there, dude. This, I cannot. I'm so happy.
You just walked out of it.
Yep. It literally was. It had all the emotions. All of them.
It is phenomenal. I cannot stress. I've been saying it on our Star Wars podcast for the past few days. This movie is everything the critics have said. Obviously, we're talking about Top Gun Maverick. Woo, man.
Yeah.
It's insane. We'll dive into it here. So, as you just walked out of it. So, this is obviously a spoiler. This is a total spoiler review of Top Gun Maverick here. But, I guess a little background to this movie. Right, this is 37 years in the making. Right from the original Top Gun. I think we'll talk about the original Top Gun too, and sort of just like where we were, what we remember about watching it for the first time, and then this, because this movie has a lot of backstory and everything to it. The original director, I guess, committed suicide, right? Val Kilmer's had throat cancer, so getting him back in the movie. They've been wanting to do it for years, and they finally ended up doing it, and it is it's spectacular. With the COVID lockdown, Paramount was pushing for it to be released on their streaming app, and Tom Cruise was like, absolutely not, right? No way are we, it is meant for the big screen, and I can 100% agree. This movie, there's not a ton of movies where I'm like, it's meant for the big screen, but this movie is meant to watch on the biggest screen possible. The sheer amount of practical effects in this movie is unreal. And you can tell. I mean, they're actually flying these planes. I mean, it's crazy, dude. It is insane. It, to me, the original is so amazing and so iconic. And I actually rewatched it, obviously, to get ready for this. And in a way, this is almost like a remake, I guess. It's structure is very similar to the original movie, but it's almost like introducing a new generation at the same time. Mm-hmm. It pulls off so many things so well that so many movies struggle to do just in one single movie. And it's unreal, dude. It's so good. It absolutely deserves all of the credit it's got. Let's dive in, man.
Well, so I want to say, I did, so I actually watched it. I did not get a chance to take my, to take Lottie to it. Okay. So I just,
so she hasn't seen it.
Well, she's seen, so I'm sorry. She didn't get to see the original. Yeah. Okay. So I just went ahead and watched it. So, but I went back and was, telling her about the stories of when, my buddy Tom, I think, was one. I mean, I might have seen it on TV, growing up and stuff, or whatever. But then it was really I remember he was super into it. I mean, we went to college that movie was just obviously something you would play. It was on our soundtracks. It was just, Danger Zone was just something that we grew up with.
Right.
We love it, So Iceman, freaking Goose, Maverick, the whole thing. it's so in. All of the Halloween costumes or just pop culture references to Maverick and Goose have been there for years. So this pulled on so many. I mean, even Lottie, who is from Germany, knew some of those references, saw them in other pop culture things and didn't quite understand who Maverick. Well, I've heard of Maverick and Goose. I don't really, I've never really seen it type of thing. So even if you hadn't seen the original, people know these characters and they know what this is about and how epic it is. So just want to say that before we dive in here, because I saw one little kind of behind the scenes thing prior to, and that opening scene where they fly over top of the
destroyed the set.
I was like, what? Like, that's one take. It they did it, and it was like they said they didn't actually intend to do that, did they? They didn't intend to destroy that set, but it just worked. It was like, right. Okay. That's
and good. Props. Let me look up the actor's name, because he's one of those guys you see in everything, and he pretty much always plays the exact same role where he's like some sort of military general.
Oh, Ed Harris. Is that who that
Ed
was?
Harris? Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
He's
always the exact same character, right?
Like, yeah.
Which is fine, but he stood there and the plane flew over, and it was so strong that it clearly destroyed some of the set. But he props to him, man, for like not turning around or getting knocked down. I mean, that's pretty badass.
Yeah,
props to Ed Harris on that.
Yeah, it was just wild. So like, I kind of want to, you know how sometimes a movie will release like a full behind the scenes,
right?
The making of this
is one I would actually watch.
Yeah. Yeah, same. Because I just while I was watching, I was like, okay, how are they doing this? You know, I'm wondering about the logistics of how they filmed it, because I'm looking at it going, this is, first of all, you get blown away. You really feel like you're in one of those fighters, because they actually are, right?
Right. Which is crazy.
Like, what?
Yeah, I mean, you can just tell the practical effects. Set this above, like the cockpit view that they've got, where it's like right on them in the camera. Because a lot of the original movie was done. I mean, it's still, you get footage of like the planes flying and whatnot, but you know, it's destroyed with miniatures and stuff like that, as opposed to here where it's, where it's sort of, green screen and stuff and CGI, the planes getting destroyed. But you can tell so much of the rest of it is just real. And the stakes in this movie, which we'll get to, matter way more than the original.
Yeah.
Because the original is just sort of like you're going to Top Gun school. And then at the end, it's like, hey, scramble, we got to go. It's like, okay, this is like the entire setup is we're going to be doing a mission where we could all die. And it's like, it just adds so much weight to it.
Matt, the fact like when it hit me was they were describing the mission to Maverick, and he was like, somebody's not coming home from this. And I was like, oh, Jesus. He's like, and I was like, that one line is in the beginning. And you're like, that's on his mind the whole
time. It changes the entire game.
Yeah. Yeah. Everything goes into the, because they're all Top Gun graduates. Right, they come in, and it's like, whoa.
Yeah, so the movie starts off. So this is something I love. I love when movies use, like, references, and they just, like, using the same font and the same structure. Like, even the opening, right, is the exact same opening from Top Gun, where it's playing the Top Gun anthem in the back, right? And it's, like, showing you the text on the screen, and it's, like, you know, describing Top Gun school and all that stuff. And then it immediately cuts to Danger Zone of, like, jets taking off. Which, by the way, also, the original one is one of, like, three movies that actually detail the U.S. Navy. And obviously, that ends up being about planes. But talk about the greatest advertisement for the U.S. Navy there ever is.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Like the partnership, I think, because I was thinking about that. Like, this has got to be a really well, like, coordinated, like, a good partnership for them to do maneuvers, to go. I don't know what the heck they did with all this, but, I mean.
They did the movie premiere. You know how they always have the Hollywood premiere? They did it on an aircraft carrier.
That's amazing. Like, that's so cool, because it's, again, it's supporting our military. It's getting people hyped for, you know, like all these things. I don't know. It just feels really cool, and it feels really good. It's so just an American movie.
It's so great. Yeah. It's so great. So, okay. So talk a little bit about, like, you know, the way it's, it starts off, and remember, this has been like 37 years since the original. And of course, Tom Cruise has some sort of, like, I don't know, he's got to be just drinking stem cells every morning or something, because he still looks like as young as he did, you know, back then. And I don't know how he pulls it off, but it's insane.
Yeah.
But so it starts off, and I actually thought it was pretty cool. You know, Maverick's got his own, he's got his in his little hangar, and he's working on that plane. Mm-hmm. Which conveniently has the letters LG on the side, which is obviously a toss to Lady Gaga, who did the big song. And they said this was actually her first time working on a score. So she didn't just do like the song for the movie. She actually worked on the score.
Oh, okay. Wow.
So this is her first like composer credit.
Which is nice.
Which is sweet. So that was pretty cool. And then, you know, he grabs the jacket and we see the pictures and it's got Goose and everything.
Oh God.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And then he goes and he's flying this jet, right? This supersonic, you know, stealth jet or whatever.
Right.
And it's like, okay, hey, it's going to get shut down. And he goes. And then it was really like, when you really are like, okay, now you're sort of back, is the whole deal is they're not supposed to be doing it anyway, because the program is supposed to be getting shut down.
Right. Yep.
And so he hits 9, which was what their test was supposed to be.
Yeah.
And then he pushes it to 10.
Right.
And then right once he hits 10, it's like, okay, you could stop.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
you get, you know, classic Maverick where he's like, just a little further. It's like, dude, what are you doing?
Yeah, what are you doing, man? I know. That whole scene where, like, because then you're like, okay, something happened, obviously. And he comes walking in and he's like, where am I? Little boy's like,
oh, yeah.
Earth.
Yeah, because who knows where he ended up? I mean,
yeah,
you're flying, I mean, that thing, Mach 10, how far away are you?
Yeah, who knows? I mean, that was what was so cool is to see some of that. See, and I'm almost wondering too, you know, I was flying back from Scotland a few months back, and I've never seen this before flying. I've never seen a jet go by, but we saw one. Yeah. Everyone in the plane like turned and flying by, like,
right.
Insanely fast, and you're like, wait a second, we're going really fast, like we're in a plane going really fast.
Not the same. not the same, man.
Not even close. But like, to see, like, it felt like we were like just walking, and someone literally went like a motorcycle bike just went flying past. You're like, oh my god, that was a freaking jet, you know? So like this, the whole time, every time you saw those jets moving, it looked like they're Top Gun jets, man. Like it's like so fast, right. It is seriously the danger zone. So, but yeah, the beginning was a great setup, I thought, because I was like, wait a second, he's not at Top Gun. Where's he at? What's he doing? You know, and then they go back and they tell the story about how he's been, you know, was an instructor a little bit. They make the references back to the original, and then he's, right. you know, booted out and stuff. So,
and he's never been, and he's never taken a promotion. So he's right. like a captain, which is like Teresa. So Teresa said, my fiance, she was a captain and she was in the Navy 3 years or yeah. like, I don't know, she might have been higher, I think she was higher than that, but anyway, she's like, a captain's like low, like it's like right. you're not, I don't know the military rankings, but
yeah, me neither.
She said
yeah.
it was it's pretty low, you know,
pretty low, so, yeah. Like, yeah, it's like how is he still there, because he's still just a pilot, he's still, you know, whatever,
he should be like an admiral by now.
Yes, they said, yeah, and I was like, okay, that's kind of cool, because he's still made a lot of sense why he still would come in and be the instructor. You had to explain that. Why would he still be in a pilot, right? Why would an admiral right. be in a pilot? Why would he still be? It's what he does. That's what he can do. That's where he's
right.
He's
that's where he feels like he belongs.
Yeah.
So I do like that they immediately sort of start teasing, though, because they show you the picture of Rooster, who is Goose's son, which is definitely pretty cool. And so you sort of see, and he does look just like
I know,
like him.
I know, he looks just like
crazy.
Him. I couldn't believe
even
it.
Though they're totally different actors and everything, just the mustache and the way they do it. So then he goes, he ends up, you know, he blows that ship up. And so he gets sent back to Top Gun because he's got to, you know, do a meeting. Thankfully, this is where you start to get the Iceman reference. It's like, well, you got an admiral in high places. Right.
Right.
And so
right.
I love that, even though Val Kilmer is only, first of all, I love that Val Kilmer's in the movie, giving us his health issues. Because Val Kilmer's had throat cancer. He can't even talk anymore. He has like one of those like tracheotomy voice boxes, which is
right.
It's just heartbreaking.
It is.
Because yeah. I love Val Kilmer. And I know we just saw the trailer for Willow and I was like, man.
I know.
Hopefully.
Hopefully they do something. Like it's,
I know.
Because he did speak a little bit. I mean, he really, that was yeah. probably really hard for him
so
to
he,
use that.
So, yeah. So he doesn't actually speak there. Because the tracheotomy voice box thing, it sounds like, you know, the people who, like, you see it a lot of, like, they stick the thing to their neck with the smoked cigarettes, right? It sounds robotic.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
what they did for that was they actually used AI to
okay,
recreate
okay.
his voice.
Oh, that's awesome.
And so that's layered in.
Okay.
But he immediately sort of starts like texting Maverick and it's like ice.
Yeah.
And so in a way they actually, he is with only being in the movie for a few minutes, given his limitations. It's so powerful because they're able to sort of actually structure him into the movie for right. the entire thing.
I know. Yeah. And then we lose him.
Then we lose him. But it's such a big deal.
Right. It's almost like we knew. something like there was this whole thing with their class, you know, with Goose and then Rooster being there, and Ice understood all that. Maverick needs a role. He's been watching his career. He knows he's like dying, sort of, right? And so
right.
brings him in as that admiral who's kind of protecting him. And it makes sense, and all of it makes sense. All the emotions are there. Like, everything is so well paced, it's so well done. There was not a literal down moment in the entire movie.
No.
And I haven't seen something like that in a long time.
No, and I thought that so I'll back up a little bit here. So he ends up going back, right, to Top Gun. And this is where they introduce a new love interest. But the way they did it was, I thought, was really smart. And I'm glad, and actually Teresa was saying this to me. She was glad that it wasn't like a new love interest. I mean, it is for the character.
Right.
Where it's this woman who works at the bar and, you know.
Yeah.
But I like that they come in and they've had a history.
Yeah.
And so you immediately feel like you've jumped into something rather than here's a new character he's going to then like have to meet and fall in love with.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it actually, I thought, ended up working way better because it immediately felt more impactful because it sort of plays off his life, which is like, you know, making bad decisions and, you know, playboyish kind of whatever. And now it's like this whole thing is sort of him. It's like finally time, Maverick, to sort of like right the wrongs of the past and settle down. And you know, her daughter's like, don't break my mom's heart again. And mm-hmm. so like that was good. And she's beginning to see the changes in him too. Like when he gets thrown out of the bar.
Yeah.
Right. And he's looking in and he sees Goose's son playing piano. And so she's beginning to see that. And then when Iceman dies, it's kind of like, no, this is it. This really is sort of the end of the road. He can't mess around anymore.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. You didn't feel like anything was lost there. I really didn't. Cause I was even looking it up to sort of say like, okay, who's who in this? And like, did I miss that character from the original? You know? And then I was like, no, cause I forget what her name is, but she just feels like she belongs with Tom. I feel like I've seen her in other movies with Tom Cruise or something. So
I forget her name, but she is, I think, Paul Bettany's wife.
Jennifer Connelly. Yeah.
Jennifer Connelly. Yeah.
Yeah.
She's a big star. I just, awesome. I always forget a lot of people's names. So anyway, yeah. So then we get to Top Gun, and you know, I gotta say, John Hamm as sort of the, I guess, he's sort of the villain in this movie, right?
Yeah.
Because I don't know, I always have mixed feelings about John Hamm. Sometimes I see him in things and I love him, and sometimes I see him in things and I think he like sucks as an actor, to be honest. like there was talks of him at one point playing Batman. Like, he has the look, but I just don't know. Right. Yeah, I always have very mixed feelings on John Hamm, but I thought he was excellent in this. As sort of the villain. So anyway, so Maverick comes in and he's got to grab this new team and get them ready to conduct this mission. And this is where like the middle of the movie really sort of picks up. Where we're okay, now we're flying, we're doing testing, and he is just wrecking people.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's absolutely wrecking people, and he's so much better than
he's like, that's a kill.
Else.
That's a kill. Boom. Just got him. Yeah. Yeah, because when he tested him, see what they had. You know, he's actually the instructor out there doing, you know, a lot of those maneuvers and stuff. And it's like he's coming in out of nowhere. They've got wingmen and he's like trying to, you know, teach them stuff. And it was really cool because they very quickly developed all their personalities. You know, Bob was there, right? Hangman, leaving people, you know, hanging out dry, whatever. And so that was kind of cool. And he's like really a top ace. And you're like, oh, he's that guy's going to be on the mission and something's going to, you started to think that Hangman was going to be out there kind of like Iceman and was going to be trouble. But it's all that conflict about Rooster pulling the papers, the whole backstory, the whole, thing. But in that tension developed earlier, you're talking about the early on when he gets to Top Gun, he takes him out there. You can already tell there's some tension there. Like, he wants to prove himself against Maverick. Rooster wants to, he's out there doing extra push-ups when they make the bet, you know? So man, I mean, that like was really cool. And just all the G's, all the maneuvers they were catching up there was insane.
Yeah. The one that, to me, the one that was the coolest one is when they're like, where is he at? And he flies up in between them.
Oh my God.
Like you saw in the trailer and everything.
Yeah.
But yeah, like what you said, you be, this is where you begin to get the a lot of the backstory between Rooster, Goose's son, who's played by Miles Teller, and Maverick, right? And, you know, he blames him for killing his dad. He blames him, you know, for pulling his paper and setting his career back. And so he's like sitting there doing extra push-ups and stuff like that because he lost. And he's sort of struggling with, what's his name? Glenn Powell, who plays Hangman, who's sort of like probably the best pilot of the group, but he's kind of a jerk, right? So he's kind of like your new generation Iceman, I guess, you know, if you want to do it. And so I like that they begin to set that up, and they gave it just enough sort of in between. So at the very end, it felt cool when he came in and saved the day. Right.
Absolutely. Like, yeah.
So it was just sort of cool enough to set that up. So what ends up happening is the mission ends up getting moved forward. Right. The mission ends up getting moved forward, and nobody's sort of doing it because they have to fly through this canyon, like back and forth doing rolls.
Yeah.
And then fly up, drop a bomb at like an exact pinpoint, then climb a super steep hill, which is gonna like cause them to hit enough G's where they pass out,
right?
Because if you ever watch them, and this is something they do, when they're actually flying planes, I forget what the exact word is, but it's sort of like a gut check, right? Where they're like, you have to actually clinch your body.
Oh, okay,
because you'll pass out if you don't.
Okay.
So like you actually like when you accelerate and do certain banks, that's why you see them sort of doing that, where it seems like they're like clenching up, because as you accelerate,
Tom Cruise does it really well.
Right. As you accelerate and hit those faster rates, if you don't, you'll like pass out because the amount of like pressure that gets put on your chest and your lungs and everything. It's like insane to think that like this is what our, you know, military members are like actually doing, but it's crazy.
Right. Yeah. That is actually insane. I mean, The wild thing too is I don't remember which one of our projects it is, but we have a guy who has reached out to us before who said that he has flown in, I don't know, like some sort of like whether it was a copter or something, but in the air, either Air Force or Navy. So by the way, if you're listening out there and that's you, like, shout out. Like, that is so freaking sick that they're out there doing those maneuvers, doing that kind of stuff, man. I mean, I don't know. I sometimes wish I lived a little closer out, you know, like New Mexico, Arizona, those areas, because they're doing maneuvers out there all the time and stuff. You know?
Oh yeah,
so it's just sick. And then off of our coast, right out on the Pacific and stuff. I've actually looked at a region where like airplanes, like commercial airplanes, come in and out of ports, and there's these other areas that aren't touched, but they're for military maneuvers. I mean, that's straight up what they're doing there. So it's
crazy. Yeah. So what ultimately ends up happening, right? We'll continue on the story a little bit here, is nobody is sort of being able to do the test, right?
Right.
And then when Iceman dies, Cyclone, John Hamm, is basically going to kick him off the team.
Yeah.
Say, okay, you're grounded. You're done. I'm going to conduct this mission without you.
Dude.
Right? And he sort of then changes the parameters, because this whole deal is they have to fly through this canyon at a super low altitude because they're SAM sites, right? Surface-to-air missiles.
Yep.
Set up all along protecting this base, which has like plutonium, which they're going to go blow up. And so as he sort of changes it, and it's like everyone's like, we're going to die.
We're going to die.
Like, we will die if you do this.
Right.
So Tom Cruise, you know, Maverick, ends up flying it and
stealing a plane.
he steals a plane, goes and flies the mission to perfection, and does it at a faster rate.
Yes.
Than everyone said that he like then he was, because it was supposed to be like 2:30, he does it 2:15, which is like crazy
them. Right, yeah,
to show like, them
there's it room is, to spare here, you can do this,
it is it is possible. So then Cyclone ends up taking Maverick and saying, all right, you're gonna lead the team.
Yeah, team leader.
It's crazy.
It is insane because in the hope in their eyes. The acting is phenomenal because they're sitting there. They were those other pilots were feeling exactly what we were feeling when he hits the course. Everyone's emotions are truly conveying what everyone in the audience is feeling, because we're watching Maverick do the course and we're like, oh my God, it was undoable. Actually, earlier Hangman had said, he was like, you know, he's training us to do something that he can't even do, or that he's never actually done or never really attempted, you know, that kind of thing. It was like some minimal reference to that. And it's like, okay, he's done a lot, right? He's taken out more. He's been in more dogfights than anybody else in recent history. but
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so the other thing that to consider on this. So part of the whole deal is, so here's a little bit, here's sort of the military back talk on some of this. So the whole deal is they want to use, initially they say, they were going to use F-35. So the F-35 is the sort of current United States play. Like, remember, it used to be like the F-22 Raptor and the F-16 and stuff like that. Like, you've ever heard like the military talk of like the planes that they're going to use, right? And then the Russians use MiGs. That's sort of like their plane. So the F-35 is like, it's freaking sick, to be entirely honest, even though it was a disastrous like 10-year start to get them up and running. They're still obviously like super awesome. So they end up using Super Hornets, which aren't as, you know, sort of, they're much more like fast. I shouldn't say faster, but much more of just like a get in there quick, like bombing plane, smaller, more maneuverable. But the enemies, they keep in the movie, they keep saying like fifth generation fighter. So they're using older planes, and the enemy, who they never actually say like what country it is or anything, but I think it's sort of fine, especially because you don't have to deal with like, you know,
backlash
or... and all that stuff. It was a much better way to do it. Although we all know they're actually Russians because they're flying, planes.
We know
SU-57s, which is like, that's a Russian sort of plane.
Yeah.
Anyway, so what ends up happening is we get to the mission, right?
Yeah.
And we're going in, and Maverick chooses Rooster over Hangman because it's like, it's, you know, his son. And, you know, they keep saying, talk to me, Goose, like when they're in trouble.
I know. Sick. I know.
And then Rooster is like, talk to me, Dad. So Maverick is flying in. He's leading the charge. He's doing good. Rooster's falling behind.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
he sort of overcomes his fears, gets it going. And then they step up. They have to fly through that bridge, which was pretty sick. I mean, I don't think they actually did. That was probably like CG. I don't know that they'd risk that for a movie or whatever, but.
Right.
Nonetheless. So anyway, so they go do the bombing run. Maverick hits it. Pure bullseye. Cause the whole deal is they need one to sort of hit it, like the bunker. And then, so that'll sort of like open it up so that the second bomb can go in, and like now that it's underneath, and totally destroy it.
Right.
Well, when they start going, the I guess it'd be the fourth plane, right? Which is, let me pull up who was that?
You had Phoenix and Bob in there,
Phoenix and Bob was Maverick's wingman.
Maverick's wingman, yeah.
And then
the other guys.
The other guy, which was
Payback? Was it Payback and
It was Payback and Fanboy.
Yeah. So.
Or Coyote, maybe.
I think I can't.
Whatever.
Right.
Anyway, so theirs is like jacking up, right?
Yeah.
Like, but they end up bombing and hitting it. So then they make the climb, and the whole deal is as soon as you make that climb, which is like a 10G climb, so you're pretty much passing out.
You got to break.
Surface-to-air missiles are coming at you, and there were jets scrambled like they weren't preparing for, because they did destroy this big runway. And this is where the movie's like, this is just obviously insane. Like,
yeah. Well, you just mentioned the runway real quickly, because you remember when they were flying in and those tomahawks are coming in over top of them?
Yes.
They're all looking above them like, oh my God. I remember I was just like, this is literally insane. I wonder, like, it felt like you were in on the mission. Like, you were all of the stuff, by the way, all the communication, the satellite kind of, or the radar plane high above them monitoring stuff. Like, it's your call, you know, it's all clear, blah, blah. Final call is to team leader. Yeah. He's out there. That is sick, but you're right. Yeah. Back to the kind of like maneuvers and like it, that was already super tense. It's already super tense going through there. They make the shots. They do the climb. And then, like you said, missiles and freaking jets are like on them. You're like, oh my God. This is
it's sweet. So they're shooting flares. They're flying around, trying to get around them. And what ends up happening is Maverick sort of like gives himself up in a way to protect the other guys.
Rooster.
He gets shot down. And then they pull back the, you know, Bob and what whatever, and then Payback or Coyote or whatever the other two people were.
Right.
They go back. And so then Rooster comes back to save Maverick because Cyclone, John Hamm, is pulling it. He's like, you guys have to get back here.
Got to.
Which.
Yeah. He's gone.
It's probably in military terms is probably the right call, just because you could set off like a full scale war. This is supposed to be a quick in and out mission.
Right.
You can't. That's probably you can send a long range search and rescue because no man left behind, but
right,
you know, you don't even know if he's alive or not. So
yeah, now, you didn't see anything. So that was a tough call.
And
yeah,
in the military, that's probably the right call. Cause also you're in a jet. What are you going to
do?
Where are you going to land? Yeah.
Swing down there and pick him up. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You need to send like a helicopter or a boat or, you know, something to go pick him up. So anyway, Rooster goes back and destroys. Now, this is actually cool because we didn't get any of this in the original, which is sort of like on foot, like more military stuff. So I thought this was cool. I actually sort of thought we were going to see them maybe like kill some guards with guns or something. I thought that'd be of like a nice touch, but that didn't end up happening. But Maverick's on the ground, a Hind helicopter, which are like a gunship. I mean,
that thing was scary. Now,
I will say this was a little unrealistic.
Yeah, yeah.
The machine gun on that would have decimated that tree that he's like hiding behind. It would have ripped that thing to shreds, but whatever, it's a movie. I'll, you know, give him that one sort of pass there. But anyway, then it sort of circles around. It's going to like got a deadlock on Maverick on the ground, and it gets hit with a missile. That was cool. So then Rooster gets shot down. So then Maverick has to go find him on the ground.
Right.
And this is where, cause the tension has been really high. This is where I thought they brought in some very good comedic relief right here.
Yeah.
When he's like, what were you doing? He's like, what were you thinking? And he's like, you told me not to think. It's like everybody in the movie theater lost it.
Yeah. Yeah. Laughing. Yeah.
And so it was a very nice sort of like, okay, like in the middle of very tense, like add some very well-placed comedy.
Yeah, you talk about the tension, because to back up to, remember when they're leaving, Rooster wants to say something to Maverick, and he's like, hey, say it when you get back. You know, we'll talk when we get back.
Yeah, they're gonna hug it out.
And I was like, oh my God. So then they're kind of like, you know, having a moment, which is really good. And then from there, the comedy does pick up a little bit when they're out on the runway and they're getting in the, because next, right, they go to get the fight.
So they go get an old F-14, right?
Yeah,
F-14, which is what he flies in, in the original. So it's like a plane from the 80s. So they jet it up, they fuel it up, whatever. And this is where it gets funny, because they get into the air, and then the other two planes, which are like, I don't know, what, three generations ahead? You know what I mean? So it's like you're talking like something ancient compared to these things.
It's insane.
So anyway, so like they sort of fly up next to him, and they're like, he's like, just play it cool, you know, just act natural. You know, they like give him the thumbs up.
Yeah,
give him the thumbs up. And then he's like, head can't talk, whatever. So that was like, that was again some good play sort of action, you know, some good, very well played sort of comedy in there. And then is where you just see how Maverick is just so much better as a pilot than everybody else. And the next 15 minutes is just pure action. It's like an adrenaline rush where he's got two, I think it's actually three planes really that are on him, or like two and then one shows up.
That's the one that almost gets him at the end that Hangman gets.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he actually plays it really smart, considering these things are so much faster than him and everything. And he only has very limited guns. Right.
Absolutely.
And he's like running out. He's running out. So he ends up, you know, so he sort of hits one, creates some smoke, and then he's able to sort of maneuver to get around behind one. And then the other one, they're flying through the canyon, and he sort of does his old brake maneuver, fly back, gets behind him, and is able to gun him down. So then they're flying back to the base, and Maverick is going to sacrifice himself for Rooster. He's like, when I tell you, pull that eject. So he could at least eject into the ocean.
Right.
But they can't. It won't work.
It doesn't work. Yeah, he's trying. He's trying to eject. And it's like, okay, now they have to fight. Which actually was kind of a good... It's almost like, okay.
But they were out of guns. So they had nothing left.
So they just had to... I know they're getting height, and he's just like, I'm sorry, right? He's done everything he can do. He's already beat like two of the I mean, they're outgunned, outmanned, out whatever. I mean, what more can Maverick
but
do?
But he just the last thing he wants is to have Rooster die. Because it's like, dude, like, you know.
Yeah.
So then Hangman ends up coming in, saving him.
Yeah.
And then we get to, then we're on the boat, right? And it's basically the exact same hug it out scene we saw in the original Top Gun, where it's like, you know, you can be my wingman any day. No, you can be mine. You know, it's basically like what we get. And then we see Tom Cruise go off with what's her name? Jennifer Connelly.
Yeah,
so it's great. It's great. It's fantastic. It's just a good summer blockbuster.
Oh,
movie,
dude! So Mount Vernon, where I'm at, is such a small kind of theater. It was packed. I was shocked. It was packed last night. It was packed this morning. It was packed, dude. I've been driving past it because we, you know, getting groceries and stuff. I'm like, what's going on? Top Gun. It hasn't been this packed. Yeah, so that was kind of cool to you. Like you said, timing's perfect. Kids just got out of school this week and everything, so. Bam, they're popping in there. And this is a sick, sick movie. I mean, I walked out of it thinking, like, I got to show my dad this. Have to.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Have to. Because he's gonna love it. He loves this type of stuff. And I don't know, man. It was so cool. All of this stuff, you know, when you get your eyes. So when it's like, you know, in the original, Talk to Me, Goose, right? It's what are you seeing? They're looking back there for smoke in the air, right? They're looking for it. And so those guys have got to spot that. And so to see Bob back there doing his thing and looking around and everything, the terminology in this was really good. I was looking at an article and New York Times, a couple other different places have posted a couple of really good articles on one, the type of fighters, as Matt brought up, that were in this that were legit. Some of the surprise big shows that they put in here. And then just some of the terminology that these actors were using is some of it spot on. And some they embellish. It's a movie. But, like, it's cool. You know, it's just
so sweet.
It's wild.
And then the end credits was like the same thing. It was, you know, it's like the exact same where it's like, hey, whatever, you know, the other guy was in the original Top Gun too. The black guy, who's Cyclone, who's there with Cyclone Warlock. Charles Parnell. He's one of those guys that it's like, oh, I've seen him in a bunch of stuff. And he also does, like a lot of video games and stuff like that. Okay. He actually really hasn't done that much in his career. He's probably had some like super long role.
Right. He's a great actor though. I thought he's got that.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at his film career, was he in the original?
I don't know. I was looking at the cast here to try to see. You had
say he was, but Warlock was.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who was Warlock in the original? Let me go look.
I'm just looking at some of them here. You've got Stinger, Wolfman, Sundown, Chipper. Not seeing.
Maybe he wasn't. I thought I could have sworn he was, but maybe not.
Yeah. Let me go over the other cast members here. So, I mean, Phoenix is awesome, by the way, in this movie. And it's a bit like Phoenix and Bob was such a cool thing. All of them were awesome. Payday, Fanboy. I love the call signs. I love that they all get their
Bob.
Yeah, Bob. You know, what do they call you? Bob. You know. All right. So just top tier stuff. I was talking to Lottie, and one of the things that we like, it's so funny, is when we were talking about the original, it's just like, yeah, Maverick and Goose and Iceman. She's like, what? Who? I mean, those are their names. Yeah, that's their call sign. So yeah.
Oh, I guess not. I guess I could have sworn he was, but I guess not. Maybe I'm thinking of somebody else.
Yeah, it might have been. Might have been thinking of Sundown guy. Yeah.
Nonetheless. Anyway, yeah, man. And then the end, like the end credits and everything, is exactly the same. So, I mean, if you had to pick a favorite part of this movie?
Let me think. Because there was a couple. Because one of them.
Do you think it's better than the original?
I don't know. I think it is, dude. I think it is. Because to me, it sets up this whole, they're all Top Gun pilots, right? They're graduates of that academy. They come back. They're the best. Maverick's there. You've got the nostalgia with Rooster and this history and all these different things that are going down. They've set this up. I don't know that they're going to do it, but if they wanted to do a second class with all these characters, with Rooster hanging, I feel like Tom Cruise now has set that up to say, if you guys want to continue on, I legitimized this whole next rank of actors and people moving forward into this stuff. So
yeah, and let me say, Miles Teller, by the way, he's been in some stuff, but I feel like he's really sort of beginning to become like a much bigger actor, right? That's who plays Rooster, right?
Yep.
So let's see. Looking at his movie list, he was in Project X, right? Remember that movie, like the super like high school party movie that was like ridiculous. Oh, he was in that. He was in Divergent. He was in the Fantastic Four movie. He played Reed Richards. So he could actually end up showing back up in Marvel as like a variant or something, which if you do that, then you get a mega star. He was in that movie War Dogs with, how am I blanking on his name? Let me pull it up here.
You're fine.
Jonah Hill. He's in the movie with Jonah Hill. It's where they're selling guns.
I never saw it, but I know the movie.
Arms manufacturers.
Yeah.
And then Top Gun Maverick. So, I mean, he could totally be the lead to the next one.
100%, he could be. Yeah, 100%. Another character who was in there, actor Glenn Powell, by the way, he's been in some good stuff. Like that was Hangman, right? I mean, he's been in, not anything like, I don't know, but I feel like you've seen him in stuff, right? Like, I just looked him up here, Hidden Figures. He was in The Dark Knight Rises, I guess, at one point. I don't know.
Who's he playing in The Dark Knight Rises?
Let me scroll down and find down here. But he's been in a lot of different stuff on TV.
He was just like some.
Yeah, I don't know if he was anybody.
Some minor character, yeah. Oh, he was in Expendables 3. Okay, that was good. But yeah, so a lot of these people are sort of up and coming, you know, a lot of those younger casts were like up and coming actors and stuff like that. So you could, I mean, I feel like you totally could do a Top Gun 3. And I mean, you could still have Tom Cruise in it. I think I would have at this point, I would have Tom Cruise like retired and maybe, you know, like Rooster. So he's more of the cameo in the third one. And Rooster has to go ask him for advice or something.
Right. There's also, I mean, I know people, I like this guy, Phoenix, her name is Monica Barbaro.
Yeah.
And so she's been in a couple of different things. She's best known for some TV show.
Well, her Unreal. And Rooster seem like they may have had a little bit of
like a thing, right?
Romance going. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was like, okay, that'd be kind of cool just to see her back again. So.
Yeah.
She's trending right now, and so is Jennifer Connelly.
Yeah. Tom Cruise is about to do, I think he's about to do two more Mission Impossible movies and then it's over.
Oh, really? Oh, really?
But he could still be like director, executive producer. You know, I mean, he could do all that stuff but I'd say Paramount's probably sitting there saying, we're making Top Gun 3.
Oh my gosh, man. Yeah, again, this cast is so good. They've got the work in, and they're all talking about the boot camp that Tom Cruise put them through. Right. They're all talking about on the talk shows and stuff. They're like, because Monica specifically was like, no, Tom like came in, like I'm Phoenix, like I get picked for the final mission. And she was like, it was tough. It was rigorous. There was a lot of work to do and had to really flex her acting skills and stuff, you know? So
yeah,
I hear it was pretty hard, like hard in a good way. You know what I mean? He had a high bar for this movie. So, which paid off big time for all of them.
Yeah. And the director, by the way, let me Joseph Kosinski, I think is his name. Okay. So he and Tom Cruise have become like really sort of good friends. And he started doing a lot of like, because he did. He actually hasn't. He's only done about 6 movies. OK.
Mm-hmm. OK.
Total. He did, his first movie was Tron Legacy, which I love and I think is one of the most underrated like movies ever. It just came out at sort of a bad time where it was like Avengers was already like heating up and like, you know, it was all like superhero stuff and like right before we got another Star Wars movie. So I think it sort of came out at a bad time, but I loved Tron Legacy.
Oh, I did too. I thought it was fantastic. Yeah. So
he's done Tron Legacy, Oblivion. That was another Tom Cruise movie. Remember, that's the one where I think he like keeps dying and he keeps like reappearing. And it's sort of like a futuristic movie.
Okay.
And then he did a movie called Only the Brave, which I'm sort of unfamiliar with. The Dig, which I think was some sort of short film. And so then Top Gun Maverick is his fifth film.
Okay. Wow. Holy smokes.
And then he has another movie coming out like next month. I think it's called Spiderhead. But it has Chris Hemsworth, and it has Miles Teller, who plays Rooster. So
this guy's getting he's got some big actors in his stuff. He's getting some.
Yeah. Charles Parnell, who was Warlock in this, is in it. So, I mean, he's definitely got some of these people are going to be, or he's beginning to work with and stuff like that. So absolutely great. I mean, but I'd say, hey man, Top Gun 3.
Absolutely.
Rooster. You know, Rooster. I don't know they call it Rooster, but you know, something, I mean,
right. So, no, something like it. And then you can have a bit more of this, bromance, romance, whatever you want to do with he and Hangman or other crew member, whatever. And then Phoenix, I think she's really cool. They've set the stage for this to happen. And again, I think the partnership with the military and stuff is huge. I think super that's a cool. Really, really cool thing that you would get behind. And they used it. I didn't realize how much of a recruit. I was reading an article as we're kind of talking about this. They used it as a big recruiting thing back in the 80s, going into like right. The Navy and stuff. Like they'd be outside theaters and stuff saying, hey, sign up. Let's go.
I'm sure. I mean, it's
right. Right.
Get yeah. You know, the funny thing about the Navy is the Navy only has like three movies like that are like, because all the movies are like the Army, the Marines, you know,
oh, yeah.
Whatever. But it's like when you think of Navy movies, how many? It's like, OK, I think Top Gun, which is like piloting. Right. You know, whatever. But yeah. I guess hey, the Navy has more planes than the Air Force.
You told me that. I couldn't believe that. I was like, really? You know, but I mean, yeah,
because they have to have somewhere to land. The Navy can land anywhere.
Jeez, yeah.
I mean, United States Navy is you know, the single most powerful entity on the face of the planet.
Yeah, it's huge. It's a big deal. It needs to be. Our forces, they're out there, like you said. I mean, it was really cool. Remember when they were on the runway and they didn't have enough room? I instantly, this movie did a good job of making you think about the aircraft carriers. And you're like,
that's crazy.
It is crazy.
Landing on a runway is cool. I mean, like, you know, just landing, but land, they have that big cable that just sort of like catches them. Like that is because it's so short.
I was actually going to, because I was curious. I'm like, what if they don't catch that cable? Because this movie makes you ask all the questions like, well, how does this work? How does that work? You know, you get curious right. And you start to kind of explore. Because I was like, they probably just keep flying right off of the and come back around. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, good. We didn't catch. And there's no pull. So you got to keep right on.
That's
you know
a real expense. That's a real expensive mistake, though.
It very much so. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, very much so. Well, again, like when he wrecks the freaking, what was this? The
supersonic ship at the beginning. That's probably like a billion dollar ship. Like
they're calling an SR-71 Blackbird. SR-72, maybe. I don't know. Right. We're speculating as to what that was. But yeah, the very same movie, Tom Cruise visits a secret test facility to fly a stealth plane, which resembles the famed SR-71 Blackbird. However, yeah. Okay. So maybe it's just a little bit different, but that, as far as I can tell, that looks like it was a real thing, right? It was a real,
I'm sure it is. Yeah.
Real plane. So yeah, man.
Well, I mean, yeah. And shout out to that guy too. You know, he was like sort of, he's there, he's like on the comms and everything. The guy who's there, like with the test. Cause he's sort of throughout the movie, he kind of gets lost a little bit, but.
Right. Right. He's there.
And he's there to say like goodbye to Maverick.
Right. Yeah, how did that? I don't know if that was how that happened or whatever, but still, yeah, it was
cool. He just gets transferred around.
He's transferred,
with Maverick, I guess. I don't know.
That's all right.
Whatever.
Yeah. Iceman made a move, sent him over there.
Right. You know. Now, Teresa, I was watching with Teresa, so my fiance who was in the Navy.
Yeah.
She said that she definitely was like, oh, that's wrong. That's like, there was a few moments in the movie where she's like, that's wrong. I guess he has four bars at one point when he's wearing his dress white, and she's like, that is not, like, he's like, captains have two. She's like, that's wrong.
Well,
I think he had four, and so she's like, that's wrong. And then I guess his hat, she was like, that hat is wrong.
So that's
like,
so
whatever. Yeah
they probably played it up. I mean, you know, make him look a bit more, you know, decorated or something. Yeah,
right. They're like, it's a movie, no one cares.
Right. Well, that's what I was hearing, is that like there's some liberties that they took, but for the most part, I mean, a lot of that stuff was really
well. Yeah, I mean, yeah,
but yeah, like to. Yeah, so some stuff is a little bit played up. So yeah, man, you had everything from like F-14 Tomcats, you had the F-35, you had the Super right. Hornets in there, and then yeah, the Su-57. Well, that was that fifth
that's
gen.
That's like what the Russians use.
Okay,
and, like yeah, the Su-57s and stuff like that.
Wow,
they use MiGs and stuff like that. They're sweet. I mean, they're all obviously hardcore, but yeah.
Wow. That's awesome. Let's see. So they're actually, oh, they're actually, okay. So interesting. They said they kind of did some, whatever the airplane, they're just talking about how they did a little bit of rendering on with CGI just to make those look more like the Su-57 jets or something. I don't know.
Right.
That was, yeah. The only part that wasn't necessarily.
Yeah.
But at the end, he's flying that freaking, that's Tom Cruise flying that freaking propeller plane.
Yeah.
You know, as he flies off into the sunset, you know, it's crazy.
Which is so cool. Yeah. And so on that plane, I noticed had an LG on the side, which I think was obviously a nod to Lady Gaga, because she worked on the score and did like the theme song that's like out right now or whatever for it. Yeah. So that was definitely pretty cool. Cause I've been watching a few little like tidbit interviews and stuff like that, where Tom Cruise been asked about specific things. Like I've been mostly trying to find stuff about Val Kilmer. And I guess he pushed incredibly hard. Like, I don't think he had to push that hard, cause it's sort of, he's like producing, but it's almost like, hey, we're getting, like, he was adamant that Val Kilmer would be in this movie. Because it really helps frame the whole thing.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it was very important.
You only actually see him for like 3 minutes, and he's like sort of typing on the screen. And I thought the way they did it, he goes to his house and he's like, it's back, isn't it? So you know, because you knew he was sick and stuff like that.
Right.
And so he's typing on the screen, and even though like Val Kilmer is not even talking, like you can feel the way, and really Tom Cruise, I mean, sells it hard.
Absolutely.
Because it's weird to sort of as from for us to view, but you feel this like years of emotional weight that happens off screen,
right? Yeah,
like when only one person. So that to me was like, that would to me was honestly
stellar acting.
My favorite part, because the drama was there and you can feel it.
Yeah, no, you really could, and you're right. They had created all this all this tension, all these different things, but then the heartstring stuff was crazy between him and Rooster and Iceman and everything. And the Iceman stuff that goes all the way back. They showed the pictures and they showed some of the clips, and you're like, holy smokes. This was like, you know, these guys fought together. They were in it like Top Gun together. It was just such a cool moment. And I am glad that they put him in it. Again, Willow, I hope he's somehow involved. However they can do stuff, make accommodations and stuff, because he's done so much. You know, in the 90s and stuff, and 80s for acting and movies and stuff. Like, come on, that's, I don't know. It was very important that he was there. I felt like it would have been a totally different movie without him. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. So,
not a bad movie, but just a movie that wouldn't have had that same.
It would not have. It totally wouldn't have been the same. So yeah, that to me was like my favorite part. But absolutely. So yeah, yeah, I think I'm with you. I think it is. I will definitely go back and rewatch this more than I rewatched the original. The original is just so iconic and classic. I love that they had the football on the beach scene too.
Which, I know.
The volleyball. Now, unfortunately, it did not play Playing with the Boys from Kenny Loggins, because that's sort of like, you know, iconic.
I know.
Whatever. But it was, you know, I was fine with that. I was like, I'll allow it.
Yeah, people were like, some of the stuff out there, like, oh, they played it pretty straight. You know what I mean? There wasn't a whole lot of, like, they didn't play that up a whole lot or whatever, but that's okay. It was there. With that whole scene is them out there playing football, you know, the team loving up on each other.
Going to team, stuff. Right. Yeah. It was smart.
It was good.
It was good. Yeah. He's still riding the old bike, which is sweet.
Oh,
I think it's like a Suzuki. It's like something or other, but.
Yeah, I could. That was really cool that he had that out. I think Lottie was just like, does everybody in the Air Force or the Navy, you know, Top Gun, whatever, wear those glasses and ride motorcycles? I'm like, yeah, that's just what you do, right? That's just,
yeah,
you have to.
Oh, you get the jacket, you know? Oh no, it's a Ninja. It's a Ninja 900 is what he's on. It is okay, a Kawasaki. Cool. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Yeah, Kawasaki. Cool. Yeah. The whole thing. I mean, even the corny scene at the end where Jennifer Connelly's like leaning up against the car and stuff. It's like whatever. That's what movies are.
It felt 80s. It was great.
Yeah, it was it, that was a good thing. And all the different stuff, you know, that when they throw him out of the bar and then they realize, oh, that's our
well,
our
the, well, the funny thing is that's ripped straight from the original, right? Mm-hmm. Because they're like the same look they give, like, oh, they put their head down is exactly what happens in Top Gun 1 after right. they saying, you know, you've lost that love and feeling to the love interest in that one. And then, you know, he's like, oh, my God, he looks, right. you know, looks like this. Whatever.
Come, yeah. Yeah, I know. It's so good. I really hope they make another one. I hope this does awesome. I hope that literally...
Oh, it's destroying the box office right good. Now. It's on pace to be Tom Cruise's biggest movie. And you know, he's never had I was seeing somebody say this. He has never had a $1 billion movie.
Oh, really? Huh.
Yeah, okay. Cuz I guess like what would it be? It'd have to be some sort of Mission Impossible would probably have been his best chance at it. But yeah, I guess he's never had a $1 billion movie. So I think everyone's saying this is probably it.
Right. Interesting. Yeah, because I hope it does well. And I really hope that they continue on with this. And you know, I don't know. Tom Cruise just he's in good movies. He does stellar performances. Like he's really committed to his craft of acting
I've never seen a Tom Cruise movie I did not like.
I know.
I generally can't like even like I think most people are like War of the Worlds is probably one of his worst movies, but that was like it was fun, it was good. I mean it wasn't a bad movie by any stretch of the means. I loved him in even something like Night and Day, which for whatever reason, like every time I ever go to a hotel, like, and we're flipping through like HBO or like that's always the movie that's on.
Yeah.
That's with him and Cameron Diaz, right? Where it's like. He's like basically a secret agent, and he's, you know, like,
I mean, let's look at some of these. So I mean, I even like Interview with a Freaking Vampire. He's also in The Last Samurai, which is a freaking sick thing. All the Mission Impossible stuff. Jack Reacher.
Tropic Thunder. Jesus. Okay, now Jack Reacher is the only one. It's a good movie. I only have one issue with like it. Well, no, my only issue with it is Jack Reacher in the books is like this like 6'6" like linebacker. Oh, really? Like, and it's like here's Tom Cruise at like 5'8". It's like, hold on a second.
Okay, gotcha.
But I will say if you go watch the Amazon series Reacher that has Alan Richardson in it, who's actually not still 6'5", but you can feel he's still like a very large man. It's so much better. But the his Jack Reacher movie is not bad. It's just not really sort of accurate to the character, but that's fine. That shows you how good of an actor Tom Cruise is that he still is amazing. I guess some people didn't like he was in The Mummy a few years ago. They were trying to like revitalize that. But I didn't see it.
I heard that wasn't great. Yeah, I didn't see it either. But everything else, I mean, even stuff from like I'm trying to describe
Oblivion, like Edge of
Oblivion
Tomorrow.
Was good. And you mentioned Night and Day already. I loved Night and Day. Thought that was
Minority Report.
I used to watch that show all the time. I love Minority Report.
Yeah,
so good. Yeah, he's been in just really good movies. And yeah, he's 59. Wow, he's 59 years old.
I do like that he's finally starting. I mean, obviously you go back like Risky Business, Rain Man. I mean, dude, he's just been in so much stuff.
Right. Yeah, been around for a long time And yeah, but not high quality stuff. So this was good. I don't know all the backstory on like because I heard it was pushed back and then there was COVID. There's these delays. And
right. Yeah. Because he said under no circumstance are we letting this be like a streaming movie. And did you get at the beginning of the movie? There was like a little thing where he said, hey, we're so proud we made this movie like before it started.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yeah, I did. Yeah. I did. That was cool.
Yeah.
He's like, we made this for you. We're glad you're here. And yeah, the whole thing. Very happy. Again, I felt like it was like good for theaters and stuff to bring people back to the theater and get people back out there. So.
And do you remember, I think it was probably, I think it was maybe a Mission Impossible movie they were filming or it might have been some part of Top Gun 2. It was like right once COVID started. Remember, like, there was a story that came out that he, like, verbally told off a bunch of people on set that were sort of, like, acting up, like, not wearing masks and all this stuff.
Really?
You remember that?
So
there was a story that came out. It was, like, right once COVID had started. So we're talking, like, hardcore lockdown and stuff like that. And they were filming, and he was, like, he sort of went off on some people that, like, weren't wearing masks. And this was, like, when everyone's, like, really scared and everything. And he was, like, do you guys want to have a job? He's, like, we're doing everything as safely as possible so that we can like continue this and people can get paid and like all of this stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like good for him, man.
Yeah, good for him. Cause you know, like he and I've heard a couple other people, like The Rock and different people talk about what it's like to come into a role and say, hey, we're there's so many people. We just see the actors and we talk about the director and stuff, but there are so many freaking people working on these projects that like this is money for all of them.
Cameraman, it's lighting, like the people who set up food. I mean, so sound guys. Right. I mean, so much.
Well,
and then all of the extras and everything.
Yeah, I actually heard somebody, it was The Rock, and it was somebody else was talking about stunts and using stuntmen and do it and being safe and stuff. Because if they get like a broken arm, a broken whatever, it's like, okay, you just cost a bunch of money to a lot of people. There's a lot at stake, you know? So, and we kind of forget that. I know people want to like boycott movies for certain agendas. Like, there are tons of people working on these things just trying to entertain you. It's not, I mean, it's entertainment business. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm watching, somebody uploaded like the opening to this movie, which they're just like, it's like, they're like, it's just basically frame for frame the same. I mean, how many people are on those aircraft carrier like runways?
Oh, I know there's so many, dude. Like, that's
I mean, you got guys pulling cables, phones. I mean, it's like, I mean, obviously it's the United States military, but it's pretty crazy.
Yeah. I mean, it's super impressive, and I'm impressed by anybody who is out there. You know, in it, I think back in the day when I was 18 and we were all talking about, oh, what do we do? I mean, for me, I was scared to death of the Navy. So I was like talking to those Army recruiters.
I almost went in. Well, my family's all Navy. I almost went into the Navy.
Man, dude,
I almost went in like twice, but nah. So here's just some of the comments and stuff like that. People like, the opening scene is so nostalgic yet holds more. More than holds its own in today's area, right? Like, especially considering you're using the same sort of that Top Gun anthem playing right into Danger Zone. Like, no current music could ever have captured and done this scene justice, right? Like, the nostalgia that comes along with this is absolutely insane. It seems like yesterday I watched this in 86. He's like, I was 5, and now I'm leading my own, you know. He's like, Top Gun is not just a franchise, it's a feeling.
Oh, yeah.
And he says, He's like, normally I hate people who clap in movie theaters, but we were all clapping. It was awesome. Like,
the
reviews and everything. Let me pull up Rotten Tomatoes to see how this thing's sitting. Because it was sitting at like a 99 by the audience and a 97, which is just crazy. Because, I mean, rarely do things score that high.
Yeah.
It's still at a 97, over 311 reviews and a 99% by the audience. So that hasn't even moved. Down to 98. That is not even moved.
And then that is extreme. In today's society, it's hard to do. People want to hate for some reason on stuff. And it's like, there is really nothing. And it's just all really good. Just really good storytelling, you know?
Right.
I mean, some and people like,
I think when you compare this to like, you know, just like, I'll use another movie as an example. Like, what you're doing is you're doing a sequel movie. You're introducing new characters, but you're also still sort of paying homage to the original without it necessarily being like a remake. So like, just say like, take this compared to like The Force Awakens. This is,
oh, I know,
this is the way to do it.
This is how you do it. This is how you do it. Yeah. It's all, people are paying attention to those details. It's like, you have to understand your audience and who you're trying to market this to and everything. Like, this is one, if you didn't ever watch the original, people are going to be like, this is awesome. But at the same time, if you watched it, you're like, this is double awesome.
Right. I would say another movie that comes to mind, although this is definitely better, is like Jurassic World. I sort of thought Jurassic World did a good job of standing on its own while paying tribute to the original. But I think this just does a much better way. I think it's done much better.
Yeah.
And that that might benefit from only having one movie as opposed to three, because Jurassic Park is like amazing. The second one and then the third one. Then you get Jurassic World, which is back up here. But so because this was only one movie that it like is so iconic and everything, just sort of sets up.
And
the practical effects.
Yeah, that makes it. That really does make it. Like, it just feels so real. It feels like you're in a mission. I don't care if they CGI'd this or whatever. When they're flying in on the mission and they're under radar and stuff, and those missiles come flying in and blow up that runway, I was like,
and I think it ties into to like something that this has an advantage of is like, you know, Jurassic Park is like dinosaurs and that stuff would never be real. Like, people have family and friends they know are in the military and have lost their lives in the military and stuff like that. So it's like the weight of like, hey, we might not return home, but we got to do this mission.
Yeah. You know, I just dawned. So you said that it just dawned on me. There was a guy. So one of my projects with my buddy Lane, right, with Up Talking Tolkien, there's a guy who was flying a Gondorian flag. And he, you know, sometimes they fly special flags over on special missions that they give to people. I didn't know this. Right. Like they'll put the flag in the fighter and they fly it over. And then that's some special flag that is given to people for certain. You can, the pilots do it. They just kind of pick and choose when and how to do that. Then they mark down where it was flown over, what mission it was flown on, that kind of stuff. Somebody, one of those guys was wrote in, sent us a freaking flag. So it's like you got people out there all over, and it always blows me away too. And we love, you know, just engaging and talking with some of our listeners and stuff, and people who write in, they're out there doing their thing, serving the freaking country.
Let's go.
Right. We've got, I mean, we've got friends, we've got family who are out there doing that. It's just so cool, man. I think it's just like, and I'm so proud of the people who go in and do that and dedicate their lives to that. And I'm also, again, this movie, it is all a tribute to those people. And Tom Cruise, he goes to military bases and visits people and does rallies and stuff. I'm like, okay, you know, just a good guy. And I don't know. I have not, I honest to God have not come out of a movie and felt this good about it and just said, huh, if I, let's say I wanted to be a you know, like a nasty prick and try to figure out one thing I didn't like about it. I can't even, I'm terrible at that.
I can't.
I'm not really good.
I pick things apart. Like I
know you do. There you go.
I try to hyperanalyze stuff, and I'm just like, I can't think of anything. Like, because, you know, even the Batman, which I'm still like absolutely in love with, I'm like, okay, I can see some people saying that movie's a little long.
Yeah,
it's a little, you know, it's at some point it feels a little slow, but
right. Yeah. I just don't even know what you could say about that. Someone was saying, okay, does it feel, is some of the structure and format a lot like the original?
Too close to the original.
But then everyone's just like, yeah, but the original.
That's what makes it good.
That's what makes it, exactly. And that's what your reference was earlier to The Force Awakens, is like, this is how you do it. It is new. It is fresh. There is history to it. My God, all they had to do was actually sorry to shift gears in The Force Awakens, was actually use the original characters like they used Iceman, you know, the way that they use Maverick and all the other characters. Like, that's how you do it.
Yeah, you show Iceman. You show Iceman, and he's like, who's the better pilot, you know, me or you, right?
Right, right.
As opposed to, here's a lightsaber, let's just toss that behind our back. And just...
Jesus Christ.
I mean, so you lift the original up as opposed to being like, we're better.
That is 100% it, man. They did not lift up the original cast in the Star Wars. That's a great. So, because this movie shows us can they still capture this magic moving forward? I hope if Tom Cruise is involved, they will. This is like his franchise. It's like he's going to make sure that this, you know, does well. And I think it would be a great opportunity for these actors and the people involved in the military, all that kind of stuff. I hope to God they let this sit, let this breathe for a while. Let's all enjoy it. And announce something, you know, like let's open it back up.
Amazing. Yeah. Amazing. This is probably my top 10 movies ever. Like Teresa, who doesn't even like going to the movie theater, is like, I want to see it again.
I do too. I actually want to take my dad to it. It's something that he would be one of the summer, like he likes to, you know, get him out of the house and stuff. And he's, you know, do something fun with him, get some ice cream, popcorn, go watch this. He'd love
it. Love it. Awesome. So. All right, guys. Hey, thanks for sticking with us. Absolutely love this movie. This is my second favorite movie of the year, behind Batman. But like, it's so hard for anything to beat Batman on my list.
For you,
For me. But I can say this is probably kicking some stuff out of my top 10 movies of all time. So
yeah. Yeah, I'm with you on that. I'm with you, man. It was great. I'm glad you encouraged me to go watch it.
So what did Lottie think? You know,
loved it. Absolutely.
Who sort of know nothing about the original.
Didn't know much about it at all. Just some of the cultural references and whatever. We watched a couple.
Right. She's from Germany, by the way, for those of you guys listening. So
She's from Germany. And so we watched a couple, just like a quick like summary. And I went over stuff, retold the original story and stuff. Because I just wanted to get into it, watch it. We're kind of busy today and stuff. So we went in. I mean, literally the whole time. She was like, this is, she was focused the whole, I've seen her zone out in some movies, kind of like, okay, you know, I'm here because, you know, I wanted her to be there or whatever.
Right.
She was locked in the whole time. She's like, that felt real. Like, that felt like a real mission. That felt like a, Good. Yeah, so she was. It was really good. It was really good.
Yeah. Let me just say this real quick. So right. So Ezra's right. Married a woman from Germany. She's trying to get her U.S. citizenship. And I said yesterday, I was like, I'm pretty sure it's on the list of requirements that if you haven't seen Top Gun, you're not allowed in.
Yeah,
it's
allowed like
a
in.
Requirement to become a citizen.
I know. My friends are holding her. They're holding her to a high standard. I did say afterwards, I was like, "Do you feel like saying the Pledge of Allegiance?" And she was like, "Yes, yeah. I do."
There we go. Okay. Right. I mean, if it's like Danger Zone is right in the top, you know, like three. It's like, you know, Star Spangled Banner, America the Beautiful. It might be Danger Zone, and then that song from Toby Keith. Right. I mean, it's like those, like the four, you know, like American.
Right.
Song.
Right. Yep. Yeah. Like I said, it was an American movie. And she, you know, the cool thing was though, is she loves airplanes. She loves aviation. I kind of forgot how much she loved that sort of stuff and phenomenon and stuff in the sky and whatever, because she's fascinated by it. So we go there, and now like the mind is just like, I mean, she's asking me questions about like air, like fighter jets. I'm like, I don't actually know. We have to go look this up, because it does. This movie does stimulate so many questions. Like, well, what was that? What is that? What they actually do, or how do they actually do that? You know, and it's just.
Right.
It's great. It's great for, you know, kids and a recruiting generation and all of us. It's just a really
sick
thing. So
awesome. Loved it. Loved it. Thank you guys as always for watching. Thank you guys for listening. Be sure to check out some of our premium content over on Apple Premium. And we also have a Patreon as well. We will be back covering many more things. Right. So as always, thank you guys for listening. And I hope you guys have a great rest of your day.